Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Sunday, a day to worship. Worship a small egg-shaped ball.
Oh no, he drops the ball.
Just as long as I'm here in your arms, I could be in no better place.
I've got to respect the ball.
You're simply the best.
Long live the weekend. Long live rugby league.
Welcome to the Triple M Sunday Sin Bin.
Welcome to it. Yeah, the Sunday Sin Bin right across the Triple M network and via the Triple M NRL app as well. Plenty to talk about today. And, of course, so we've got Gordon Tallis in our Queensland studio. And, Gordy, this time he is in paradise in our beautiful studios in Broadbeach, Triple M Gold Coast. Hello, Gordy.
G'day, Maroon. How are we going?
What do we call that building? Is it the Oracle? No,
yeah, the Oracle. The Oracle, yeah. Mm. There's a Pepper's sort of hotel up the top. It's a good part of the world, actually. It's so busy. I think everybody from New South Wales is here at the moment.
Mm. Sounds like you're in the bathroom.
Yeah, it does. It's very hollow. There's some good restaurants up around Broadbeach. Sage is a good one if you get a chance, Gordy.
No, I haven't been there, mate.
Paul Kent from NRL 360. Nice to catch up with you.
You too, Anthony.
And James Triceps Hooper, you're looking well. You've been working out on the triceps.
The Redfern Rocket. How are we, the King of Cash?
Fantastic.
I see you're already soliciting for restaurants up on the Gold Coast.
No, I'm just saying it's a great restaurant. If you're lovely steak up there at Sage. South 32, Dragons 24, once trailing 16-0. Warriors 26, Tigers 20, they led 8-0. Sharks 36, Broncos 26. You can't make this stuff up. We'll talk about that game a little bit later on. Roosters 18, Titans 12, Raiders 14, Cowboys 12. I tell you what, that Cowboys new ground looked like a bit of a mess yesterday. And Penrith 42, Manly 12. Penrith have still only lost one game all season. Today we've got Doggies, Eels, we've got Storm and Knights. But boys, I thought we might start there with the Penrith game. They have only lost the one game all year, one loss, one draw, and they really put it to Manly yesterday. It didn't take them long. The scoreboard was ticking over nice and early.
Yeah, they bounced out, didn't they, and took off. And the problem poor old Manly got, I think, at the moment is that while they're so rattled with injuries, we saw that magnificent performance when they were injury-riddled a few weeks back against Parramatta. But it's very difficult to do that week after week and maintain that consistency. I think a lot of people gave Manly a chance last night. Certainly, they thought it'd be close. But I tell you what, this Penrith side, they are turning into something pretty impressive. And it just makes you wonder, given how well the Panthers are travelling at the moment and how serene everything is out of Panther Town, you just wonder how many opportunities have been missed the past couple of years with the stuff they've been putting themselves through.
Yeah, that's a good point. Nathan Cleary, clearly the best number seven at the moment, I would think. We're going to speak to Jerome Luai very shortly about the Panthers' season so far, but that's a good point Kenty makes there, Hoops, about, you know, now that they've found rhythm, there's no dramas, there's no one coming and going, it's just Ivan and Trent and Cameron Seraldo and a team of blokes that love them.
Well, they obviously had a lot of off-field issues at the beginning of last season, and they've all gone on the record about them since and confirmed that it was dividing the club, and it was a big part of the reason why they were anchored to the bottom of the competition table for the first half of last season. But look, this year, they just seem a completely different side. Jimmy Maloney's departure has allowed Nathan Cleary to take greater control, play full field. Appy Coruscant has been the buy of the season at dummy half, and this forward pack has no holes whatsoever in it, Maroon. They're just playing united. And last night, I gave Manly a big chance at Brookvale Oval, but I'll tell you, the Panthers, they're the real deal.
Yeah, Gordy, even more so than the Roosters, I think, with Penrith, they've just got an embarrassment of riches. You know, they lose an outside back, another one just as good comes on, like this little young bloke from the Forbes Magpies, young Staines, but in the forward pack,
scored another double.
Yeah, it's just right across the board.
I think they got a right balance. You know, they had so much talent and they sort of would throw them all in there and, and they needed a bit of experience and youth, and they're doing it so easy. Like, the thing, like, when you watch the Panthers and you see a side and they go on a run, it's like everything's happening for them. But Penrith just keep on sneaking along. Titans sort of had a go last week, and you think that they're going to drop their performance, but they don't. And then you go to Brookvale, and you think, you know, the Panthers are up to get a, you know, bit of a touch up here, and, you know, I'm ambushed, but they jump out of the blocks, and, you know, after 8 minutes, like, they score a try. And I think it's the only thing that's going to worry the Panthers if they sit around and wait for the finals. I think, but I think that they are the real deal. Like, it's, mate, it's a side that's moved along, and Fisher Harris, like, he's just leading the pack.
There was concerns at the beginning of the year that while they had a pretty good squad and very talented squad, they'll probably one player in the spine, a fullback short, and that might be what holds them back. But so far, what we've seen, they've been magnificent. They've had a pretty good run with injuries comparatively compared to some of the other top sides. But they're doing all they can be asked to do.
We'll speak to him in a minute, Jerome Luai. But I tell you, gee, he's been a great foil for Nathan Cleary this year. Like, Nathan's taken so much control and ownership of this team. And when you consider he's only 22, huge credit to himself for where he's been able to get his game to. But I think what's also been of great benefit is the way that Luai can just chime in. He's not the primary conductor, but when need be, he can come up with the right option. He can get you a repeat set. He's a great support player. They're flying.
And Appy Coruscant might be considered two hoops as perhaps the buy of the year. I mean, Manly wouldn't have let him go under the circumstances if they'd known what was going to happen. But Appy Coruscant, he just fits in there, another piece of the puzzle.
He'd be the buy of the year for me. What do you reckon, Kenny?
Oh, he's certainly there. Like, look, I know when he was there before and he was let go by, I think it was Phil Gould, let him go. Ivan Cleary then was the coach and was like, what have you done? Yeah. He didn't want to lose him. He knew how vital he was in the side, and it was Gould's decision to let him go. He had other ideas about what the roster should look like, and that's what happened. So when there was an opportunity for Coruscant to come back to the club, Ivan Cleary's a great fan and jumped on it.
You mentioned moments ago, Kenny, the fact that, you know, at the beginning of the last year, they did have a lot of off-field distractions. I spoke about the reason that they're all in the newspapers, etc., and on the television news. But how much of an impact do you think the departure of Phil Gould has had in terms of giving Penrith clear oxygen?
Look, I think Phil Gould, he was there, I think, 8 years. He did a great job at building the club and fixing a lot of the problems, and basically showed the Panthers what it was like to be a football club and how to operate. But I know over the duration of that, and this is with Ivan Cleary first time as head coach, continue with Anthony Griffin as head coach, and then continued again when Cleary returned as head coach, that there were decisions made by Gould as the general manager of football that the coaches didn't agree with, coaches didn't want. Peter Wallace, for example, was retired. Anthony Griffin wanted him to continue playing so he could... Yeah, while he wasn't playing his best football any longer, he had a mature head on him. He was able to calm the players down, and Griffin knew he could use him for 15, 20 minutes throughout a game to just steady the ship. And it was vital that he had him there because he didn't have anybody else that could do that. But then suddenly by the time he learned that Wallace had taken it, was being offered a deal to retire, he'd actually taken the deal to retire and he was gone. And Griffin didn't agree with that. He wanted Wallace to continue playing. And as I said, Appy Coruscant was released by Phil Gould first time around with Ivan, and Ivan didn't want to lose him. Ivan knew how vital, knew what he was bringing to the club, and he left. So just things like that. Like I said, I think Phil Gould did some great things at Penrith, but not every decision was a winner.
And I will say this, though. They haven't got the roster that they've got today if he doesn't build it.
I agree. But look, I agree mostly with that, Hoops, but I also say there's a possibility it could have been better because players have
they're
been
on
let
top of the comp.
And as we said, they're probably still a fullback short. They've lost players here and there that they didn't – that the coaches didn't want to lose. Phil Gould was happy to release the players, but the coaches didn't want to lose them. So I just think we'll never know. We'll never know. And it's one of those ones we can argue till the sun comes down, but that's the truth of it. I know coaches haven't been happy in the past with players being moved on. It was.
So who was their fullback? Was it Lachlan Coote? Is that how far you go back?
I don't think they actually let a fullback go, Gordy. That's the one area. Look, that's
they
probably
just haven't
the
had
whole,
one come
they just
through.
They haven't gone and found one. Is more the issue. I think Dylan Edwards was at one point seen as that, and then got that long term injury, so it just stifled his development somewhat.
They did have Dallin Watunu, Zalesniak there, and I know it's...
Well, they let him go.
There were stages where he was viewed as fullback was going to be his best position, but then as time moved on, he was more deemed to be a winger.
Yeah, and that happens. You don't get roster management spot on every time. But I just know that there's been, as I said, players let go in the past that the coach and general manager didn't agree on, and they didn't agree with the way it was went. And it happened with Ivan first time, happened with Griffin, and it happened with Ivan second time. And now I'll say this, Gould has brought in systems around the club with the junior pathways, with talent identification, all that, which I think have all benefited the club. So I think he's done a magnificent job there. And now that the head coach is basically being left to coach on his own, I think that's also benefiting the club.
Yeah, okay. And, of course, it's a good, you know, they're a good young squad too, but Jimmy Tamo, who is probably one of the senior players in the squad, has been given permission to shop around. The other side of the coin is Manly, of course, who were beaten by 30 points last night and have been so courageous this year with all the injuries. I got some audio here of DCE after the game last night. Have a listen to this.
It'd be easy to blame the injuries tonight, but that was pretty ordinary from us. So, really disappointing to walk off with a scoreline like that. I certainly didn't see it coming, and we're back to the drawing board again.
It's the second time now since the COVID return that you've conceded over 40 points. What is it about the defence that you feel is the issue at the moment?
Attitude, Mick. It's a real easy one to answer. You only have to look back the last couple of weeks, mate, and you see... the willingness and the resilience we've shown in our trial on defence, and then, you know, two steps forward, one step back like tonight. So it's an attitude thing. It's disappointing. Naturally, it's pretty hard to recover when you do lose a half early in a game. But as I said, mate, like we've won games off the back of an injury early in the game. You know, against the Raiders is a perfect example. Lost Tom, lost Dylan, found a way to win. And it's all an attitude. And you guys have played a lot more footy than myself. And you would have seen tonight, like, we just weren't in it, mate. And that's the most disappointing part, is that we've done it before. So it's purely just an attitude thing to not show up tonight and have a crack.
Yeah, we just weren't in it. That just about says it all on that game last night. Let's go back to the Panthers now, because one of the stars, Jerome Luai, is on the phone to talk about the game last night. Jerome, welcome to the Sunday Sinbin on Triple M, old mate.
Thanks, boys. Thanks for having me. How are you?
Yeah, good. We're just saying, you know, it's quite a feat to be this far into the season, and considering the season that we've had, and you blokes have still only lost the one game.
Yeah, been a real good start to this for the season. We're really happy with how we're going. Our energy levels are through the roof back at the academy, and we're just taking it week by week. We're looking to improve on every performance. We're just riding the wave, I guess.
Jerome, what do you think the biggest changes are from the Panthers last season and the Penrith side that we're seeing carving up opposition teams now?
We're just really nailing what we need to do. We've got three coaches this year, and it's made it so much easier for us to get out there on the field and already know what we need to do. We're training really hard throughout the week, so preparation has been a real big thing for us leading up to the match, and we're heading into the game really confident every week, knowing that we've done the work that we've needed to do, and we're pretty much ready to rock every game day.
You sort of spoke about the three coaches, mate. How was Trent Barrett been, and is it going to be a bit disappointing to lose him next year? Has he been a big help?
He's been awesome for us, especially with our young spine. He's helped, you know, me and Nate out a lot in terms of attack. We are a bit saddened about hearing him leave next year, but as well as that, we're really happy for him. That's what any assistant coach would want to be, have their own team. And we're really proud of Baz and really thankful for what he's done for us this year so far.
Jerome, can you just take us through a little bit of what he does and how it's helped, and what's different from him being there this year to when, say, last year you're being coached, and what he's actually made you aware of?
He previews a lot for the other team during the week, so we'll adapt to what the defense gives us from previous games they've played, and he sits down with a lot of us and just has lots of chats about what we need to work on in attack, just little things. It's like he can still play. He comes out on the paddock and has a few touches of the ball, and he's still pretty freakish with the footy, so it's good to have Baz around.
The help to Ivan Cleary, how significant has that been?
Yeah, really big. You know, as I said, we've got three coaches, and you know, those three guys really know what they I guess need to. You know, Ciro's got defense, Baz has got attack, and I've just oversees it all. And it's just a really good mix, and yeah, it's a really good vibe at Penrith.
I'm guessing this has already happened, but in every season when teams are making a crack and they're heading up the ladder, there's a performance or something that happens during the week of training where they essentially admit to themselves or that they think they're a premiership chance this year. When did that happen for you guys this year? When was there sort of a realisation that guys, we're not just sitting here looking now trying to make top four or top eight, we're in this to win the premiership?
Honestly, it was at the start of the season. We set a goal for ourselves to, you know, win the comp straight away, and that's been a goal for us day dot. So we've been working towards this for weeks now, and we're just training really hard. Like I said before, intensity's through the roof, and we're ready to rock each and every week, man.
Normally about this time of year, we'd be coming through Origin, and everybody's had that little bit of a flat spot, a few weeks rest here and there and all the rest of it. How's this year different in that respect as far as just working your way through the season?
Yeah, it's probably a real big individual responsibility. You know, if you got to get a bit of extra treatment or a bit of extra rehab, you really got to take care of your body. Probably in these coronavirus times, you don't leave the house much as well. So we've got a lot of time to recover from the game and look after ourselves and make sure we're ready to go come the day we play. So, yeah.
Jerome, you spoke about your attack moments ago and the influence that Trent Barrett has had on that. How also has the acquisition of Appy Coruscant changed the way that the Panthers are attacking when they've got the football this season? Because if you go back to the stages of last year, it was very predictable and you found it really difficult to score points. But this year, you're blowing sides off the park.
Yeah. I've got so much reps on Appy. He's been a big help for us all. You know, the ball, he's got a lot of skill, and, you know, his defense is crazy, and, you know, he touches the ball the most out of all of us in the team. So he puts the defense in two minds, and, you know, he takes a lot of notice off Nath as well. So he's been really great for us.
Hey, Jerome, everybody talk about the three coaches, and we know all about Ivan and Trent. They're like the movie stars, aren't they? But Cameron's been in the coaching system there for many, many years, and he's a former NRL player himself, but he kind of flies under the radar a little bit. Tell us a bit about Cameron Ciraldo.
I've known Ciro for a while now, and he's probably one of the guys that's had a lot to do with most of us in the team coming through the 20s. He coached a lot of us that are in the side now, and you know, having Ciro there is sort of like a second father figure for us all. He brings a lot of experience. As you said, he's a first grader, and he's just awesome in defense. He really he's like Baz, just in defense. You know, he knows a lot about the game. He's a really smart guy, and it's awesome to have Ciro there as well.
What about your halves partner, Jerome? We've heard Ivan speak last night about the fact that he thinks Nathan is in career best form. What do you think the catalyst behind Nathan being able to really take his game to the next level has been this season?
I'm not too sure. He's become a lot bossier this year, so that's probably one thing. But really proud of Nate. He's probably one of the hardest workers out there on the field each week. I know he's coming into the game ready to go. He's just killing it, man. You know, this is his side, and he's taking it with both hands. So we're behind Nate, and, you know, we got his back, man. So he's playing really well.
Good on you, Jerome. Great to catch up, mate. You got a couple of hard games coming up. I think Raiders next week. Best of luck.
Yeah, tough one there. Can't wait for it back at home. So see how we go.
Good on you, mate. Best of luck. There he is, Jerome Luai, joining us on the Sunday Sin Bin. And, of course, we do it thanks to our mates at Bryden's Lawyers. 1-800-848-848. There's plenty of things to talk about today, including Indigenous Round. And Gordy's piece that he did on Fox League, absolutely. Just, I even had to text him to say how much I loved it. I hate to give him a rap, but it was just wonderful, that piece you did, mate. We're going to play that shortly. And our Maroons poll has just come out, and here it is. Should the NRL be bending the rules for individual players? Should the NRL be bending the rules for individual players, e.g. Sonny or Sawali. We might have a little. We might delve a little bit deeper into that. But you know what you do? Triple M NRL Facebook or Triple M underscore NRL.
Just on individual players there, Anthony, just give young Jerome Luai a rap there. Gee, he spoke well, didn't he? And from the heart, I found it interesting, Kenny, that he pointed out at the beginning of the season, Penrith identified that they believe they had a premiership roster.
Yeah, they're a funny side. Look, I've been tipping Penrith for years. You know what I mean? And they just never quite got there, and there's always been a few things that have gone wrong here and there. And I thought they've had a good roster for quite some time. This is probably the first year, given the absence of a representative caliber fullback. I thought perhaps they're just not quite up to it. But the way they've just gone about their business this year, they're finally coming good on the potential they've shown for some years. I think well done to the Panthers.
Yeah, absolutely. Paul Kent, James Triceps Hooper, Gordon Tallis and Maroon. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back and talk about Indigenous Round as Triple M rocks the NRL.
Sunday Steam
Bee. Nice to be with you on a Sunday afternoon.
Triple M rocks footy.
Beats it in for a try!
I never really saw him play. But somehow, Arthur lived in my early memory. In the unbelievable space. Bigger than life. Every time I saw him, he'd ask about my mum and dad. In the dressing room, in the car park, just walking past. How's your mum and dad, Geordie? He always called me Geordie. I wasn't going to argue. Arthur had this warmth about him, a genuine care for us country kids living away from our homes. Well, what a legend. Bowen's hometown, the Cape York Aboriginal community of Hopevale. They had just one game of league all year, and it was between the same two families. And when he was only 15, playing against men, his uncles, his cousins, this kid would become my favourite ever player to watch.
The Bowen arrow is straight through for the bullseye.
Just seeing him, just watching him play made me smile. Where he came from, where he ended up, the heights, playing for his country, his combination with JT. Today, he deserves his own statue in Townsville.
Greg Inglis, superstar!
Greg Inglis, throw Gene Miles and Mel Meninga into a blender, and that's what you get, GI.
That's the Greg Inglis we know and love.
And what about that image when he stood amongst the great athletes in a tough sport? There he just stood up and stood out. What an athlete. Greg could beat you like no other guy alive.
He's going to put another nail in the coffin and the go in a crawl.
Well, look out, Billy. It goes Renouf. They won't catch him.
When Steve Renouf, from a family of 10 kids in Mergen, came down to the Broncos, quiet and humble, he even wore shoulder pads so he didn't look too small.
Now take a look at him as he crosses the halfway.
The Pearl. He's the only guy I ever played with where the blokes on the inside would say, get out of the road, so they could get the ball to Pearl. At the Dragons, there was a group of us. Corey's Corner. Me. Ricky Walford, the Panther. Chockey Mundine. And Jeff Hardy. And of course, Andrew Walker, the most talented guy I've ever played with. We'd get off on our own, muck about, have a laugh. Great times. Ricky was so quietly confident of who he was as a man, such a great leader. And often by what he didn't say.
Mundine goes for the accelerator.
Chock, so gifted. To achieve what he has over such a long time. And not just in rugby league. I've never seen a guy love the spotlight so much and perform under those bright lights. Jeff Hardy, such a great teammate. We all love playing beside Jeff. Today, the baton has been passed. Passed to the likes of Dane Gagai. Passed to Blake Ferguson. To the Fox. Josh Adokar.
Mitchell.
And Latrell Mitchell. We love watching them play. Looking out for them. and we always will.
Yeah, there it is. And we thank the guys at Fox League who put that together, because that's absolutely brilliant, Gordy. You did a wonderful job on it, mate, narrating it. And only sorry that we couldn't show the footage with it as well. But did you have fun doing that, Gordy?
Yeah, well, I was a bit nervous because of, you know, I don't like doing that kind of stuff. But it's an important round to a lot of people. And, to talk about Arthur that had, his fingers in a lot of kid's career, and you didn't have to be found by Arthur, you didn't have to play for the club that he was at the time, and it wasn't because I was a black fella, it was just because I was a young kid coming in from the country, and he just had this warmth about him, Arthur, and it's true, he used to always walk past and call me Geordie, and it used to really sort of get on my goat when I was 20, but I wasn't game enough to say anything because he's Arthur Beaton, but he always, you know, took interest in everything else but like footy, and then all those other players, you know, when I went down to St. George and, you know, playing with, you know, Ricky and Jeff Hardy and those older guys, and watching, you know, the talent of Andrew Walker and Jock Mundine, and then you go to Steve Renoff, it's, you know, they're special. And my favourite player to watch was Matty Bowen. So he's from Hopevale, and I ended up going out there one time just to go see the community. There's one game of footy, and there's youngies versus oldies, and you got to pick up a jersey, and if you're an old bloke and still think that you can cut it against a young fella, you pick up a jersey. And if you're a young fella and you get to 14 or 15, think, well, I'm going to play against my uncles or dad today. So you pick up the jersey and they go there and it's full on. And, and to see that Matty's come from that to where he got to, it's just, it's an amazing journey. And, I'm just, happy to be part of it. And I think rugby league is very inclusive. Like, that's one thing that I know, just sort of doing that and where I go for and being Indigenous in a lot of those communities, when you go to sport, is their way out. Sport something that they just love doing. It is their life. And, I think without it, like a lot of communities would be a very sad place. It's just all, and whether it's AFL or rugby league, but rugby league I think is more inclusive. And I always talk about someone like Alan Langer or Jonathan Thurston playing with and against someone like Shane Webke and Glenn Lazarus. It doesn't happen. Yeah, it doesn't happen in a lot of other sports.
You make a great point, Gordon, about rugby league being such an inclusive game. Yeah. If you go all the way back to the 70s, Arthur Beetson was the first Australian Aboriginal captain in any code. And I think that's a reflection of the Indigenous contribution to the game, and also just how open and accepting rugby league is in terms of its inclusiveness.
Mm. Okay, well, I'm just going to interrupt here for a second, fellas, because we've got Tony at Claremont Meadows has called through on 133353. Tony, it's all yours, mate. What did you want to say?
Mate, I love listening to you boys, and Gordon, I just love what you said then about the Indigenous players, and that was so, it brought a tear to my eye just going back and thinking about all those players that you just mentioned. But mate, one thing that you didn't mention is yourself. You're a great player, Gordon, you've always been. I'm a Panthers supporter, but I've always liked watching you play, and you never I don't know what it is, but you don't pay homage to yourself, mate. Like, there's so much respect there, Gordon. It's great to have you as a commentator now, and it's great to watch back your games and what you played and how you brought so much to football.
Well said, Cheers. Tony.
Thanks.
I will say that Gordon more than adequately talks about himself when he's not on air.
Come and have a schooner with me, mate.
He's a champion.
There's only one guy that I know that talks about himself more than me, and that's Wendell.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's got five personalities to talk about. Yeah. Big Dell, Big Dell 2, Big Dell the golfer, the international Dell.
Good on you, Tony.
You can never forget what you did, Gordon. You should never forget what you did and how much you brought to football.
Thanks, mate. Thank you. But, and just to tap off, like my dad, and I know Arthur, but my dad was the first Indigenous captain to leave the country, and he didn't say too much about it. And then, growing up, and people always say, mate, well, what's it like? And I didn't have a black father. I didn't have a white mum. I had mum and dad. And, he was just so humble, and he never, ever, ever spoke about himself. Like all the stories, I'm about my dad is an Indigenous guy, and he slept with his mum till he was 21, or slept in his mum's bed till he was 21. He was scared of the dark, and he got signed by Lee over in England, and Bobby Hagan and all those guys that played for the Dogs. So dad went over to England, A black fella from Townsville got on the plane, and he gets off the plane in Russia.
Wow.
I don't know how it happened. Could you imagine that? He's got up with a little bag and a singlet and thong, and he's got off the plane in Russia. He couldn't even get to Heathrow. mate, he couldn't even land in London. He landed in Russia. Okay, get the gum leaves back off your shoulders and get on the plane. Get back to North Queensland.
Oh, that's gold. Boys, what about Indigenous players? I was telling the boys yesterday, 1975... on the hill at Redfern Oval, South versus Balmain Tigers. 75, round one, South beat Balmain 39-2, and Eric Sims kicked 9 from 9, and I was there, and it was a great day to be a Bunny supporter.
They changed the rules because of him, didn't they?
He used to kick
so many field goals, it was 2 points, wasn't they? Mm. And they moved it to one.
Yeah, absolutely right.
Yeah, unbelievable. Yeah, look, mate, look, there's so many. And then one guy I didn't put in that thing is Laurie Daly. Like, Laurie Daly was an unbelievable player. You know, there's so many that I left out. But yeah. It was, you know.
It's funny, you know, because, like, I knew Arthur when he was coaching the Cronulla and when he was also then recruitment for the Roosters and whatnot. And he was always a great phone call, Arthur. And you talk, Gordy, about his warmth and all the rest of it. Arthur's one of those guys you didn't care who you were or where you're from or what you did. All he judged was your character. Yeah. And I see a similar bloke today, and I think it's why everyone loves him today, is Tommy Radonigus. Mm. Tommy Radonigus doesn't care about anything about you except whether you're a good bloke or not. And Arthur was pretty much the same. If you're a good bloke, you're good in Arthur's eyes. If you're a dickhead, mate, you're always going to be a dickhead. And he just steered clear. Mm. And so Arthur was just always that sort of guy. I had a thing for Arthur when he was playing. But I had no idea. I was only 7, 8 years old when he was sort of in the latter stages of his career. But I had no idea he was Aboriginal. It wasn't part of the conversation. Yeah. He was just a great player. First Indigenous player I can actually remember where it was quite apparent that, yeah, as a boy, 7, 8 years old, and you could actually see the difference, was Larry Corowa, who was just unbelievable. Yeah. Larry Corowa, in many ways, is also another player that's forgotten, because when he got the ball on the wing at Balmain, the blocker always says there's only ever been two players who every time they got the ball at Balmain, the crowd stood up. One was Larry Corowa, the other was Ellery Hanley, which shows you the stature of Larry Corowa. He was just he just had this blistering speed, and he was just able to gap anybody that came and was chasing him and the rest of it. And he was just a marvel. One of the great things is if you can sit down and watch a highlights clip of Larry's tries, they're just unbelievable. Yeah. He still texts me every now and then. Yeah, sends me a comment on this and signs off the flash.
Where is he on the Goldie? Where is he?
Hey, Kenny, didn't he make a break against, or you made a break against him?
Oh, yeah, I tell that when I've had a few beers, Gordy, not on radio.
Oh, come on, mate, you got to tell it. It's a great yarn.
Well, I'll tell you, all right. So I was playing reserve grade then at the height of my career. That's about as best it got. I was playing reserve grade for North Sydney up against the Gold Coast. Remember Larry had made a comeback and played for the Gold Coast?
Yeah, yeah.
So he's made a comeback for the Gold Coast, and I was playing fullback, and Larry's just gone right through the middle of us, and I'm standing back for a kick, so I'm quite deep, and I just knew him for his enormous pace, and so but when he came back to have the comeback, he'd been retired for 7, 8 years or so, and he came back, he was a little bit, I'll say, heavier than what he was when he retired. So when he's running at me, I'm thinking, which way is he going to go? Like I was right in the middle of the field. He could have gone left or right, and he was just going to get me for pace because I was standing still. So I thought, I'm going to cut down the angle. I'm going to run at him, and as soon as I see him start to go left or right, then I'll head that way, and hopefully we can get there before he starts picking up some pace and sort of swerve around me. So I'm running at him, and he's running at me, and I'm just watching him thinking, which way is he going? Which way is he going? I'm just looking for some movement left or right. And the closer I'm getting to him, I'm thinking, he's leaving this late. And in the end, he just gave the Maori sidestep. He just went straight. did not deviate.
Size 15 on the forehead.
Just smashed straight into me. So
and went straight over?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. So,
all right.
But to me, like, yeah, I'm like, most of our listeners, right? I love footy, grew up, I had a crappy career, which everyone sort of finds great mirth in. But when I played games where you played against a bloke like Larry Cora, and because I have a real love for the history of the game, I knew a lot about Larry Cora, even though a lot of my teammates at the time didn't, because I'd followed him back when I was a kid. And it's a real thrill for a bloke like just an average footballer. Like I was like what you'd call a bush footballer. You know what I mean? A couple of years in the lower grades, but I was a bush footballer. And so to be able to say you played against Larry Cora, and you know, other guys, like I played with Phil Blake a few times, played with Scotty Gale a few times. Scotty Gale's another Indigenous player who was a freak. Mm. When you played with him, some of the things he did on the field, I used to just look at what he would do and just think, I used to, after a game, try and analyse how he did it. it was just pointless. Mm. It was just pointless. I'd say to him, his nickname's Oot, OOT. You say, Oot, what were you thinking when you did that? He says, oh, Kenny, I don't know, I just went with it.
Yeah,
that's it. Yeah. He could not explain to me why he did something that was just
but the
magical.
Great players can't.
Mm.
You know, like it just comes so naturally that they see stuff that you don't. And then talking about that, like to go back and reminisce, like Mel Meninga, like I was 7 when he played his first Origin. Mm. And Matty John said, and he summed it up beautifully, it's like playing against your dad. You know what I mean? Because you see this huge big figure all your life, that Mel Meninga was a giant amongst men. And then you go to try to tackle him, and it's like, you know, mate, when you're standing there in under 12s and the kid opposite you's got the biggest hairy legs, you know, like, it's like that. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, mate.
Or
like
hanging on your dad's leg when you're playing in the backyard. Yeah. You're just dragging
you. Mate, like dragging you along. And then, and like the Mel Meninga ran at me one time. I was at the Dragons and I tackled him. I thought, oh, God, like I tackled Mel Meninga and I thought, gee whiz, it wasn't that hard, you know, like why does Mel run over everybody? We played him in a semi-final. Same thing, I've sort of run out. And I thought I'd look back on the video and see Mel Meninga like really braced to give me a huge bump, you know, and knock me off. He didn't move his body. He did not move. I was just like a speed up. He just ran. And then I was thinking, God, mate, my shoulder was numb. Mate, all the way down to my leg, it's like he just ran through me. And I was waiting for the tape. I was sure he bumped me off. He didn't. I just hit him and fell off. I just hit him and just stopped and it slid down the pole like a cartoon.
Oh, that's great stuff. All right, well, we'll take a break and we'll come back. So I hope everybody's enjoying Indigenous Round, and great to see the NRL. The jumpers have looked absolutely sensational.
Outstanding, Maroon. Yeah, just brilliant. And a lot of current day players have had a huge input into the design of the Indigenous jumpers at all the clubs. You could talk about the contribution.
Which is your favourite?
The contribution
I think the Rabbit. I'm not being biased. The Rabbitohs one.
Shock.
Outstanding.
I tell you what, I like the Dragons one.
I
thought it was a beautiful jumper. But I found it hard to watch that game. Saints versus the Rabbitohs, and the Rabbitohs were in all white.
I
constantly found myself having to adjust.
That happens, that does happen in these rounds. I thought the Raiders one left a lot to be desired, but we'll leave that there. We'll take a break and we'll come back and continue. We've got plenty to talk about today. Elliot Whitehead will be joining us at some point. We'll preview this Parramatta Doggies game shortly, as well as Triple M rocks the NRL. Woo!
The Triple M Sunday Stimpy.
Nice to be with you on a Sunday afternoon.
Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back to it. It's the Sunday Sin Bin on Triple M, and it's thanks to our mates at Bryden's Lawyers. We love having them on board. If you need expert legal advice, just give them a call, 1-800-848-848. You don't have to ask your mate next door. Get the experts onto it. James Hooper, Paul Kent, Gordon Tallis, it's over to you, Triceps.
Well, Anthony, you know that everybody on this program and all the listeners have a great endearment for yourself. Have got a variety of nicknames, and it all comes from a genuine place of love. So we've got the King of Cash, the Lebanese Lothario, the Redfern Rocket, and, of course, the Waterloo Whitehead.
Yeah, that's right.
And the reason why I'm bringing up the Waterloo Whitehead is because we were listening to yesterday's program, and we just caught this audio.
Stella, welcome to you.
Afternoon, all. What did you do to him?
Ah, look, we're just trialing something new, Pete. Just mixing things up a little bit.
We did ask him, Stella, if they asked you to take this gig full-time, would you feel bad for Tony? And he said, no, I would not.
Let me be clear.
Yeah.
I just said, this is Tony's job. I don't want the job.
Right.
It's his job.
Well, but if they asked you to take
it... No, see, now you're doing some investigative journalism, Em. If they asked me to take it, obviously Tony didn't want it anymore. So I would take it.
Maybe you convinced them off air that Tony's not doing a good job.
Are you calling me a white ant?
Possibly,
Maroon. I'm not familiar with the term, Brownie.
You threw me when you referred to him as Tony Who. That was all.
See, if Tony didn't want the job, like Tony Squires, who's not only a friend of mine, but he is one of Australia's most respected broadcasters. Mm. I'm backed into a corner here, you know. If he didn't want the job, would you want the job? Well, why not? Well,
you might make him an offer he can't refuse, though.
What do you mean?
In inverted commas, want the job.
I see, yeah. Well, see, we've got Tony Soprano out there, our statistician.
Yeah. Well, he's the man to do it for you.
Yeah.
Well, so, but what were you doing up at the boss's office earlier? What was that about?
That was a whole other matter, mate.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Has there been another HR reporting, or is it something else?
As you know, at the start of the year, I negotiated for a pay decrease because I knew COVID was coming.
Yes.
And I wanted to do
a team player. Yeah.
And so I just said, look, if they're going to continue the JobKeeper into March, let's go down that way with me as well. Let's keep me on that minimum wage until we get to March, and then we'll...
Sounds like a pay rise for you.
So it's a team... it's a team effort from me, Paul.
I actually heard you went to them and said to me, listen, can you just take me off the payroll and put me on JobKeeper because I'll make more?
Yeah, something like that. Anyway, boys, I'm not white-handing Tony.
Where was Tony then?
I have no idea where he was. He's
got no idea where he was.
Yeah.
You didn't send him a get well message. No. You just slipped straight into his chair.
Yeah.
Straight onto the headphones.
Mm. That's right.
Off you went. Mm.
And as much as love and respect as I have for him, if he wants to vacate the job, I'll put my hand up and take that job as well. But in the meantime, I would do nothing wrong by the great Tony Squires. He's probably just like you blokes in that he's got this crazy deal that I can't get where you want a day off through the year, you just get a day off. You know, this is something a previous boss brought in where you blokes just get a day off. This is only one day a week.
Who's doing the negotiating for you then, Ed?
I'm doing my own negotiating.
Well, there you go.
Agent of the stars.
Now we've solved that.
All right. Look, we'll take a break. We'll come back because there's more pertinent issues at hand. Remember Maroon's poll. Should the NRL be bending the rules for individual players? We're going to preview the game next. The Doggies and the Eels as Triple M rocks the footy.
The Triple M Sunday Stimpy.
Nice to be with you on a Sunday afternoon.
Triple M. Rocks footy.
And welcome back to it. Thanks to our mates at Bryden's Lawyers. Now, the results so far in the NRL, South 32, Dragons 24 after the Dragons led 16-0 in that game. Sharks 36, Broncos 26. The Broncos led by 8 with 9 to go and then lost by 10. And people are suggesting they're getting better. Well, we might talk about that later on. Roosters 18, Titans 12. Go the Titans. Great effort. Raiders 14, Cowboys 12. Ben Cubbins on the plane with the Raiders on the way to the game, apparently. And Penrith 42, Manly 12. That was the last game last night. Those scores are all thanks to Tyre Power. Get up to $150 cash back on selected BF Goodrich tyres.
Tell you what, Maroon, that would have made an interesting plane trip home if the Cowboys had somehow orchestrated a last-minute victory over the Raiders after last year's grand final. Eerie silence.
Would have been amazing.
He's not a Raiders fan either, Ben Cummins.
Mm. Really?
Yep. It's well known amongst the refereeing fraternity.
He's not... Well, Leon, what are you saying, Paul?
Well, I'm just saying he's not a fan.
Righto. You don't want to add anything to that?
Well, referee shouldn't be a fan of any team.
Well, probably that's true, Gordon. But is that reality?
There we go. The rhetorical question.
Gordon, whatever you're doing in there, hit mute when you flush.
Yeah, you sound like you're in the loo, mate. They haven't got you in the loo up there in the Oracle building on the Goldie.
No, I'll tell you what, it's the smallest little... What are they called?
Looks quite flash.
Mm.
Yeah, look at that, and I can even reach the light switch.
You just turn the light on.
That's how small it is. I've got to get up.
I think he is in the toilet.
I can open up the door and everything.
So you open up the door, turn the light on. Sit down.
It's in Nebraska. Yeah.
Hold on, mate, coffee machine. I'll just reach the coffee machine. There's 12 of us in here at the moment.
Now, boys, here's a stat. At the moment on the NRL ladder, we've got the Dogs coming last, but we've got 15th, 14th and 13th. All the Queensland teams. So if the Dogs can get a couple of wins over the next fortnight, in 6 minutes' time, they'll take on the Parramatta Eels and the Eels flying high, another one of the teams from Sydney's West doing well. Can you give the Dogs Hoops any chance of beating Para?
Do you, Gordon? Do you?
Yeah, mate, it's a weekend of upsets.
Last week.
Did you give the Warriors a chance of winning?
No, I didn't on Friday night. Definitely not.
Did you think the Dogs were going to beat Newcastle last week?
No, I did not.
No.
But that's last week, and you said this weekend's upsets.
Yeah, I know.
There's only been one.
Well, do you know what? Parramatta, you know, they're a really good side. They're a top four side, but I know the competition's a bit funny at the moment.
Mm. All right.
Yeah, I can't see them getting there.
I can't see the Bulldogs, yeah, upsetting. The Eels, they're at full strength. There's not too many holes in their defence. They've just been playing too good over the course of the season. So
we talk about...
They're still struggling to score points, the Dogs.
And yes. Look how well the Panthers are going, and all these ex-Panthers playing in the Parramatta side that are going well, e.g. Regan Campbell-Gillard, Michael Blake. Jennings, Wunga Blake, yeah. We could have an all West grand final. That's a lot in a football team. There's only 13 players on the field. Tim Laffey rejoins the Doggies today. He started out there, went to the Dragons. Now he's back at the Doggies. We know the Doggies will get effort, boys, but nobody gives them a chance to win.
Gordon does.
Yeah, Gordon does. Mm. I just think that Parramatta are travelling too well.
All right, well, we'll take a break. We'll come back. That game will be underway, and we'll give you score updates on that, and we'll talk more rugby league. Thanks to our mates at Brighton's here at Triple M as we rock the footy.
Triple M Sunday's Inbin is full of experts. If you're looking for expert legal advice, have a chat to Brighton's lawyers. Triple M rocks footy. Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot, and strong. Install a Ream.